Let us open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. We are grateful for this evening. We ask that you'd grant us grace sufficient for this particular lesson and evening in the name of Jesus. Grant utterance on each and every word that will be spoken. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, great. So I am going to teach on a subject I have titled The Mentorship Program of Spirits Through the Media. Okay, the mentorship program of spirits through the media. Okay, now there are some titles that you hear, you just know, no, only maybe pastor is ambitious to teach such titles. Then there are some titles you hear, you know, it's probably Pastor Obron. There are some titles you hear, you know, it's probably Diana. Or there are some titles you hear, maybe it's Mrs. Chilombo. Or there are some titles you hear, it's probably Thelma. You know, and everybody that teaches. It's like everyone has got a unique DNA with their titles. So, you know, if it's for example, maybe if it's Diana, you hear it will come like a sentence, like someone is explaining something to you. Are you sure? Or maybe a question. Are you sure you are really healed? Anyway, okay. So, are you really rooted? You know, things that will start making you contemplate. No, I don't like making me contemplate. Are you really healed? So, number one box questioning, but am I really healed? You are a pastor, but are you really saved? Yes, you go to church. Yes, you preach. And that's how I should preach it. Yes, you preach. Yes, you. But are you really saved? Then you now start thinking. Ah. Anyway. Okay, so my subject title for the evening is the mentorship program of spirits through the media, okay? The mentorship program of spirits through the media. Now, we are going to start with 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verses number 1, okay? 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verses number 1. It reads, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils." Okay, 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verses number 1. "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils." Okay, let's read Hebrews chapter number 12 all the way through to 14. It says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." The KJV should say, "who by constant use have trained their senses." Okay? Senses. "Who by constant use have trained their senses." Somebody say senses. Okay? "To distinguish good from evil." Now, those are powerful, powerful scriptures we've read. The 1 Timothy 4:1. Just has got a lot to unpack, and I don't even know if I should start unpacking the scriptures first or going into my pointers, hoping that, you know, the pointers will help me unpack the scripture. But we are going to look at the mentorship programs of spirits through television. Now, many times people don't know that there is no such thing as middle ground, okay? There is no such thing as middle ground. In the spirit, there is no such thing as middle ground. In life, there is no such thing as middle ground. That is why those that are claiming to be lukewarm are spat out. Okay? Hebrews 5, 12. Those claiming to be lukewarm are spat out because you can't be in the middle. Okay? It's either you are hot or you are cold. When you say, "Well, me, I don't believe in being led by the spirit," you have already said yes to being led by a foreign spirit. So many times people say, "No, me, I won't be led by the spirit." I can assure you, you have already enrolled into the mentorship program of demonic spirits. Now, it's very, very important for you to actually understand that demonic spirits are teachers, okay? They are teachers. Now, many of you believe that the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth. 100% correct. He does teach you all truth. But demonic spirits will teach you all manner of falsehood. That is why we are being told that they have a doctrine of devils. For you to have a doctrine, these are established teachings. Okay, doctrine is different from dogma. Okay, allow me to be a little bit theological. Okay, my lecturer used to tell me, sometimes ngabambo kubelesha baiche, you have to say some big things so that baishi but ali yako school. So let me show you that I went to theology school. Okay, there is a difference between doctrine. There's a difference between doctrine and dogma. Okay, so I'm trying to create a separation so that muishi but you know, chinapunzi lako. You know, there's a difference between doctrine and dogma. Dogma is just like a few statements. You know, have you ever seen people like throw a few statements? They don't have doctrinal backing or foundation, but they're just like statements people believe in. Someone will just say something, okay, in life, so and so and so. It's not doctrinal, but it's dogmatic. Okay, in that, it means that it's just a statement you throw out, but it's not doctrine that you can actually establish people in. Okay, but one of the things you have to realize concerning doctrine is that doctrine is a set of established teachings and truths that you can actually lay out for someone and you establish them in that particular doctrine. Okay, so for demons to have a doctrine, it means that they don't just have pretty statements, they have an entire set of teachings. Okay, so demons are good teachers. I can assure you, they are good teachers. And I've shared with you several times how that demons are good teachers. You will discover that many people never went to school to learn some of the darkness of which they are practicing accurately. They never went to any school whatsoever. However, they discover that they are doing things and sinning fluidly. Okay, as though it's their mother tongue, fluidly. Someone went to school to learn physics, but you see them, you know, do all sorts of obscurities. You see them do prostitution fluidly. You see them become a playboy fluidly. Okay, you went to learn physics. How did you learn to date 12 girls at once? Those are doctrines of demons. They are teaching you. Okay, so when you say, I don't want to learn from the Holy Ghost, I can assure you, you have enrolled into another mentorship program. Okay, you have learned to enroll into another mentorship program and demons are teaching you. Now, we have seen through Hebrews chapter number 5 that the Bible is referring to our senses, okay? It's referring to our senses that, you know, but solid food is but for the mature who by constant use have trained their senses and have learned to distinguish good from evil. Now, it's very, very important for you to understand that in the natural, we appreciate life and learn through our natural senses. So in the natural, we appreciate life and learn through our natural senses. In the spirit, we appreciate life and learn through our spiritual senses. So, for example, if I want to appreciate, if I want to appreciate maybe hugging someone, okay? If I want to appreciate hugging someone, maybe I want to appreciate hugging my wife, okay? I will appreciate hugging her through my natural senses, okay? If you want to appreciate, for example, food, you will appreciate food through your natural senses, through a sense called the sense of taste. Okay, so we appreciate life in the natural through our natural senses, and those senses are what are helping us appreciate life as it is in the natural. Okay, so you appreciate a hug through feel or touch. Okay, it's a natural sense. You will appreciate a powerful song. Okay, you will appreciate a powerful song through the sense of hearing. Okay, so you will find yourself in a place where you can hear someone singing. Okay, you can hear the song. You appreciate the song through your natural senses. In a like fashion, when we want to appreciate life in the spirit, we appreciate life in the spirit through our spiritual senses. So Many people have not trained their spiritual senses, is what Hebrews is telling us, okay? Many people, and that's not what I'm really here to talk about on how to train your spiritual senses, but many people have not trained, and that's why I love that the Bible says, those who by constant use have trained themselves, okay, or have trained their senses to distinguish good from evil. It means that you can train your natural senses, okay, and you can also train your spiritual senses. People who test wine have trained their natural senses, those wine testers, they have trained their natural senses that they could be testing wine, you know, with a blindfold on, but they'll tell you this is, you know, this from 1990, so this is from 1947, because they've trained their natural senses. In a like fashion, you can train your spiritual senses. The reason why many people do not appreciate life in the spirit is because their spiritual senses are not trained. And in the book of Hebrews, we are taught that one of the ways you train your spiritual senses is by constant use. So the more you use your spiritual senses, the more they are trained to appreciate life as it is in the spirit. As a side note rant before I move from this point, I remember when God helped me train my senses, I started training them. You know, sometimes I'd walk into meetings, I'd be seeing things flying, angels all over, demons moving up and down. You know, I'd see things. Sometimes I'd be seeing colors, and sometimes I'd be seeing things, all sorts of strange things. Why? Because my senses were receiving training. So many of you may say, I don't see in the spirit. There's no such thing as I don't see in the spirit. There's also no such thing as I don't hear in the spirit. Your senses are not just trained. Okay, that's a subject for another day. Okay, great. The church doesn't pay me enough to teach all those things. Okay, I know my executive is here. Anyway, so we appreciate life and learn through our spiritual senses. We appreciate the spirit realm through our spiritual senses. Okay, great. Now, when spirits want to engage men dwelling in the natural, they use their natural senses to cause a spiritual occurrence. Okay? Forget that joke. Let's move. When spirits want to engage men dwelling in the natural, they use their natural senses to cause a spiritual occurrence. So when a spirit wants to mentor you, for example, let me put it like that. When a spirit wants to mentor you into a program, or the spirit wants to engage you in something, that spirit will engage you through your senses. Excuse me. So spirits engage men through their senses, okay? They engage men through these senses. So a natural activity can cause a spiritual occurrence, okay? That is why you will discover that you may find yourself in a place where you are having a vision, or you are having a dream, and then someone taps you. You will discover, if I tap you, that's your sense of touch. If I tap you, that tap, okay, can affect the vision you were having. Have you ever had that experience? Maybe you are in a meeting, you're having an encounter, and an usher just lifts you in an unusual way. So the natural, the touch was natural, but it created a spiritual ripple, okay, that affected the vision that was in the spirit, okay? You may be having a dream, for example, someone shakes you or you hear noise. You were having a spiritual experience, but the natural occurrence affected the spiritual experience. It is to show you that things happening in the natural ripple into the spirit. Okay? It's very, very important for us to understand that. Now, in actuality, because we separated the spiritual senses and the natural senses. Now, in actuality, it's very, very important for us to understand that what we call natural senses is not as natural as we perceive them to be. So what we are calling, these are natural senses, they are not as natural as we perceive them to be, okay? Hebraically, there isn't any word, okay, to distinguish between natural and spiritual, okay? Hebraically, there's no word, okay, that distinguishes this is natural, this is spiritual. Hebraically, everything is perceived to be one reality, okay? Everything is perceived to be one reality. Because man is transdimensional. What that means is that man can engage into the realm of the spirit and into the realm of the natural freely. Man is different from dogs. Okay, taongo kati imbwa tiachingira mu realm of the spirit. Okay, in as much as anyway, let's leave that teaching. I don't want to get tied in a web I shouldn't get into. Okay, but you. Okay, let's leave that one. Okay, so Hebraically, there isn't any word for natural and spirit because it is believed Hebraically that the two realms are merged together. Okay, the two realms are merged together. That is why you would discover that natural occurrences are affecting spiritual, are having spiritual implications rather. So when a spirit wants to colonize and teach men things, spirits will use mediums that engage the gates we call senses. So our senses are access points for spiritual traffic, okay? Our senses are gates that are used for spiritual traffic. So when a spirit wants to colonize you, the spirit is not looking at your natural senses as just natural. The spirit is looking at your natural senses as gateways, access points. And please forgive me if I dig up anything from someone, but it may also heal you. If someone was ever, for example, abused physically, molested physically, okay, usually what happens is that it will create a resistance in that person that sometimes you will notice that even what a normal hug would look like causes a resistance. Why? Because a gate was violated, okay? A gate was violated through touch, okay? So these things are very, very complex. And you will notice that upon each and every gate, the touch, the taste, the eyes, the hearing, and the seeing, when a spirit sits on that gate, you're the only one thinking it's natural. No. Those are gates. They are access points. So when a spirit sits on the touch gate, for example, you will notice that on that touch gate, for example, a lustful spirit sits on that touch gate. The people that are sensitive, it may be a normal handshake, but you will feel a repulsion. Okay, many ladies will tell you this. There are times that the touch you received was lustful. And all of a sudden, it was a normal touch, but all of a sudden you feel someone just maybe shook your hand, gave you a normal hug. You could feel the energy of lust and your entire being felt disgusted and there was a repulsion. That is to tell you that the spirit that is sitting, of course, you ought to be very discerning. I hate teaching such teachings because some overly ambitious people will start grading everyone. No, so you ought to be very discerning. That's why you ought to train your spiritual senses. So, what was I saying again? So there'll be a repulsion, okay? There will be a repulsion. You will feel that repulsion, that resistance, because your gates are manned by the Holy Ghost. So there was a repulsion. But if you discover that on your gate, what is seated there is a lustful spirit. No, you, on this other gate, what is seated is a lustful spirit. When those two collide, there's no repulsion. Those are friendly forces, okay? They will now embrace each other and enjoy each other, okay? Because imipashisha palana, okay? I'm giving you spiritual intelligence. So when a spirit wants to colonize and teach men things, spirits will use mediums that engage the gates we call senses. Our senses are access points. I've already mentioned that. One of such access points is your eye gate. Another of such access points is your ear gate. And these are the ones that I really want us to focus on tonight because I don't want to go into the others, the touch, the taste, and all. They can be very complex, but they are very, very powerful because some of the people that have helped many people, some of the people that, were abused or the like, it's that gate that was violated. And if you want to minister deliverance, you must start from that gate. So, yeah, you can always schedule to meet with me and you could be helped anyway. So today I want to look at, the access points I will focus on in the mentorship program that I am teaching you. This terrible mentorship program, the access point that I'll look at more is the eye gate and the ear gate, okay? These are the access points that I really, really want to focus on for the night. So now, the mentorship program of spirits is that if spirits want to, mentor you demonically, demonic spirits want to mentor you, okay? They want to mentor you demonically. One of the things you will discover is that these demonic spirits will have to do it through your senses. Okay, they will have to engage you through your senses, through what you are seeing. If they want to project something within your being, they will actually use certain mediums to project things within you. If a spirit wants to project lust within you, that spirit, I left a book I wanted to read. Mrs. C, if you're listening to me, just open that military bag. You will find a book in there and you can bring it for me. I'll really appreciate it. So, you know, anyway. So one of the things you will realize is that, you know, there's a way in which spirits have got a way of mentoring people. There is a program that they have put you in. Some of you don't know. After this, you will realize that you were in a class. You have been in a class. You are better off actually going to church, being mentored by Christians, you know, sitting under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. You are saying, no, me, I can't be led by the Holy Ghost. You're already being mentored by demons. I can assure you. And they are very, very good teachers, okay? They are very, very good teachers. They have a mentorship program. And the mentorship program is to engage you through your senses. They are projecting things. You may not even see them physically, but they are mentoring you. They are mentoring you. They are mentoring you. They are mentoring you. And every mentorship program, I can assure you, has got goals. Okay, so every mentorship program has got goals. There's a way in which, you know, mentorship programs have got goals. So if you come under my mentorship, for example, I will read you my mentorship expectations. This is what I expect from you. This is what I want to see from you. This is what I want to see you do. And this is how I want to shape your destiny, you know, as the Lord will lead us. This is what I want to see through your assignment. There are goals. Now, demonic spirits, when they begin to mentor you through the media space, through what you are watching and through what you are hearing, they equally have an agenda. It's not a blind mentorship program, okay? It's not a blind mentorship program. There is an agenda which has got a set of rules, things they want to do, things they want to achieve. Now, the first thing that you will be mentored into, okay, and I pray you are not mentored into this direction. But if you give yourself to the wrong media stuff, the first thing that will happen in this demonic mentorship program is a mental reconditioning. I had started talking about it yesterday on my Facebook. Okay, a mental reconditioning. One of the first things that demonic spirits want to do when you come under their mentorship and they are projecting through the eye gate and they are projecting through the ear gate, one of the first things they are trying to achieve is mental reconditioning. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. Okay, so these are not, you know, earthly weapons. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself, thoughts that set themselves against the knowledge of God. So there are thoughts that are projected in you that are setting themselves against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So Paul is even acknowledging that there are certain thoughts that are not of Christ. These are lifting themselves against the teachings of God. So we must take captive of these thoughts, you know, and bring them under subjection. Okay, we must bring them under subjection, or else these teachings will filter into your mind and they will go against the teachings of God. That's called a mental reconditioning. A mental reconditioning is the process of altering one's thought process into thinking what is wrong is right. So mental reconditioning is that your thought processing will be altered to the point that you begin to think the things that are wrong are actually right. A mental reconditioning is achieved by repetitive and reinforced learning. So when you are sitting on that TV, You think you are just watching Kim Kardashian, you know, keeping life, you know, what do they call it? Keeping up with the Kardashians. What you think you're just doing is you are in a class. And in that class, you are being mentally reconditioned. Mentally reconditioned. Mentally reconditioned. Some people will be watching, oh no, they'll be watching, I'm watching Mpali and I'm just watching it. It seems so okay. But what is happening is a mental reconditioning that it now looks normal. So what was wrong previously and a taboo becomes right through repetitive and reinforced learning. That is why, have you noticed how that there was a time in which if a lady wears a miniskirt in town, the Kaponyas will be screaming, they'll be following you. Now, because they watch miniskirts left, right, and center on TV, they are watching it repetitively. Their minds have become so mentally reconditioned through reinforced learning that when they see it now, they are not shocked. Some of you now, you will see a miniskirt. You are not moved. You are not shocked. There is a mental reconditioning through repetitive learning, okay? Through repetitive learning. So you're consistently watching something and repetitive learning is actually happening. And because of the reinforced learning. So it's very, very important that you what do you want? I'm disturbed now. Okay, great. So it's very, very important that you are very, 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 very mindful of what you are watching, or else a mental reconditioning will take place. When you accustom yourself long to something, it starts to become comfortable and normal. Have you noticed that something you have accustomed yourself long to will start to become comfortable and normal? The devil doesn't even need to force things on you. He just needs you to accustom yourself to it long enough. So he doesn't want to force you. He won't even force you to things. No, he just wants you to accustom yourself to it long enough and he will mentally recondition you. I can assure you, don't say inenalikosa. Some of you, you think mwalikosa sana. Inenalikosa. Na lipita flesh tunapaya kudala. Ningatambe so Kim Kardashian. Palipiva menu visa chitika. I can assure you, you are in a class. And you will notice that one of the things that happen when you start learning in a particular program is that you will never know when your language changed. For the lawyers in here, you will notice that sometimes they'll be speaking, and as they are speaking, they'll be speaking in legal terms. They don't know when their language reconditioned. It reconditioned by reinforced learning. Every day they are learning. So all of a sudden you discover that there are legal terms that are coming out of them. You stay in church for a long time. All of a sudden you notice that when someone greets you, you say, I am blessed. Okay, it is well. You know, you are responding like that because you are being mentally reconditioned even without you knowing. The same is true. If you meet a doctor, you will find they are talking in medical terms. You know, they'll be giving you initials. Okay, it's like now quota AB something. Now quota, and you're wondering, you know, I don't understand those things, but it's become so normal to them and they don't even realize it has happened to them because by staying in that class long, they were being mentally reconditioned that sometimes they forget, they start to explain big words to lay people. And it's not like they're trying to shock you. No, there was a mental reconditioning by being in that class consistently. So if the devil keeps you in a class where you are watching something consistently, you are watching Big Brother consistently, I can assure you, you are being mentally reconditioned, okay? All of a sudden, you will find what wasn't normal now starts becoming normal. For example, I shared yesterday on, you know, one of the things that Hollywood is mentally reconditioning us on. You will discover that Hollywood will have this scenario where many of you have found yourselves in that place. Hollywood will have that scenario where, for example, there will be this prince is married to this, you know, this woman, and probably maybe not enjoying the marriage and the like. And so the prince is married to this woman, and all of a sudden, you know, a maiden girl from the village comes and she starts to work as a maid or as a house help in that castle. And, you know, all of a sudden the prince starts to see this, you know, seemingly humble girl. And as we are seeing this scenario, all of a sudden you notice that you start to vouch for the have you found yourself in that place? You start vouching for the maiden girl. What you don't know is that you are already promoting adultery. You are already promoting the breaking of homes. Okay, that seed has been sown. All of us have found ourselves there where, you know, this prince is married to this, you know, woman and maybe not enjoying the marriage. Instead of you saying, why can't they fix things? Why can't they go to counseling? The first thing that is coming to you is that, I just hope they settle, you know, with the maiden girl because she's humble. You know, she comes from the village and she, you know, she's the right girl for the prince. And you are vouching, you are praying that things just work out. You have already been mentally reconditioned. Okay, and when it happens in the natural, you will be quick to rush to leaving a partner than to sorting things out, because you were in a class that you were being taught that when this one is not doing well, run away and settle for the other as long as she's innocent or he's innocent and humble. Because there was a mental reconditioning that was taking place. So if you notice that you start to vouch for that lady, I can assure you, there's a seed in you already. You will need to go back and pray that God helps you, because you are already in a mentorship program. And the moment you begin to vouch, the program of demons is starting to work. You are starting to learn well. You are a good student that you can even start vouching. Okay, you have become an A+ student. You may even be failing in your CS, but I can tell you, demons teach so well that in that program, you will succeed. They will ensure that you succeed because they are good teachers and they are ancient. They've been there for some time. When they are passing transgender ideas, have you noticed that there'll just be a cartoon, you know, all of a sudden that cartoon, you know, that cartoon is just there. You know, you don't know if the cartoon is male or female, is male. We don't even know the gender of the cartoon. Okay. It just looks like, you know, fine. And all of the sudden you notice that people begin to accustom themselves to that. Why? They were under a mentorship program. They are okay with the idea because there was a mental reconditioning. Let me touch one of the theories because I'm about to get very interesting. Okay. One of the theories, for example, okay, one of the theories that has been pushed and is mentally reconditioning us is the Prince Charming theory. I don't know if you've noticed that there's a Prince Charming theory. Everyone just assumes, especially the ladies, they just assume that the person they will meet will be just the right amount of everything. You know, his eyebrows look good. He's got a six pack. You know, his name is Antonio, you know, and he just dresses well. He speaks rightly. He just does everything rightly. And so every young lady has been mentally reconditioned into thinking that the person I will meet will be 100% top notch. That is demonic. The person you want to settle with, the type of person you want to settle with, only exists in your head. Ladies, let me tell you, they only exist in your head. It is now up to you to start working towards that. And when I say working towards that, I don't mean missionary dating. I'm very clear about that. I don't mean a non-believer at Nalampanga. No, what I mean is that this person meets the fundamental criterias, okay? They meet the fundamental criterias, vision compatibility, you know, issues to deal with salvation and faith, you know, things like that. Then the other things you will start cooking on your own. Mwalama mlewa mle pangika, mle shpanga, mle shpanga, mle shpanga. There's no such thing as a Prince Charming. That's why many of you sisters are single, because you have been mentally reconditioned into a Prince Charming. The guy, you are saying, no, me, I just want him to be rich. I just want him. Even you are not wealthy, but I just want him to have everything. I will have a Rolls Royce, you know, looks good. His name is Andreas, you know, and, you know, he speaks in a certain way. He can speak some Spanish, you know, they don't exist. That is a mental reconditioning. Okay, it's a mental reconditioning that says we cannot work on relationships. That is why people are so lazy to build and work on the relationship that God has given them. Because the mental reconditioning is that the person I meet must just be perfect. If you're not perfect, I'm leaving you, moving to the next one. But you will notice that by the time you are done moving, you would have moved to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Mental reconditioning. Even what we call definition of beauty now. Do you know what we are calling the definition of beauty? Much of what we are calling the definition of beauty is as a result of mental reconditionings. Mentorship programs of spirits. So people are defining beauty based on what is trending. Okay, that's how people define beauty, based on what is trending. So if the media starts to propagate that beautiful women are the ones, you know, that have got, you know, a large chest. Okay, if they begin to propagate that, all of a sudden, every young man wants a lady with a large chest. So at a certain point when Nicki Minaj had her revival, you know, in darkness, and, you know, she was trending and she was all over, every young man wanted a Nicki Minaj, a very bright future, okay, and very healthy behind. So every young man wants that, because that is what we are being mentored into as the definition of beauty. So my sister, if you find yourself with a man that has been under the mentorship program of seducing spirits and demons like this, and you are like, you know, very, very, very lean. Okay, I was trying to say another word, but you are very lean. And the guy is mentored under that. He will start asking for questions. He will start asking, why aren't you like this? Why aren't you like this? Why aren't you like this? All of the sudden, wasanga, you know, from nowhere, wambogu ya porridge, jaga chelo, porridge na sawa, porridge na sawa. Why are you doing porridge na sawa, breakfast, lunch, supper, 18 hours, 01? No, it's the gains. I want to just gain. No. You know, why are you under pressure due to someone who is under the mental programming of darkness? You are beautiful the way you are. Remember, there was a condition some time back, you know, when Snapchat just hit, okay? It was called Snapchat dysmorphia, which was that everyone wanted to look more like their filters. It's a condition where someone wants to look like their Snapchat filters. So all of the sudden, abantu wamukshipenta penta, you know, abantu wale fokumoneka kwatirimbika, you know, like a cat, you know, because those are the Snapchat filters. So you want wale fokumoneka kwatika pushi kwatika bwa, you know, why are you, because the world was defining that as beautiful. So if you're not careful, you'll be under that programming and you'll be mentally reconditioned into thinking that is what is referred to as beautiful. What we call trends are spirits. Let me tell you, in case you didn't know, what we call trends are spirits, okay? What we are calling trends are spirits. There is nothing that is just trending. It's a spirit. Every time a spirit wants to propagate an agenda, it releases it through a trend. If you want to see the emphasis of spirits in your generation, see the things that are trending. If you want to see the emphasis of spirits, see the things that are trending. So all of the sudden, every young girl that feels they don't have a very, very big behind, feels like they are losing out, feels like their life is down, feels like they're not beautiful enough. Why? Because the media is propagating that agenda. And then you start to see statements like confidence mwitako. I was seeing that, you know, all over Facebook. Confidence mwitako. Confidence. What is that nonsense? And everyone is just saying, that's where the confidence is. I'm telling you, I don't want your confidence to be in that. Let your confidence be in who you are in God. Many of you, so, let me leave that matter alone. Okay? Okay, so, those are mental reconditionings, okay? People are being mentally reconditioned. They are being mentally reconditioned. So you find different things trending, different things trending, different things trending, because there is a mental reconditioning. You are behaving like you don't know. You will read these things on social media, but then you are behaving like pastor has said something that you don't know. You know. Okay. So there's all these mental reconditionings, and the things trending are spirits. And so you will find that the first agenda of spirits in the mentorship program is to mentally recondition you. Okay, so that is why you find many people are mentally reconditioned. They think a certain way. They think in a certain pattern. They think in a certain way. It's mental reconditioning. Okay, allow me to be very clear and very straightforward. I hope you allow me to be very bold and straightforward. Okay, there are some of you, you will discover that because you have watched too many sexually explicit things, you know, too many sexually explicit things with too many scenarios, you will find yourself in a space and in a place where you are consistently thinking of scenarios. That's a mental reconditioning, because you will find these sexually explicit movies, they have all sorts of scenarios. So the average young boy, because he's so exposed to sexually explicit material, he's just thinking, okay, so if, you know, my teacher calls me to the office, you know, all of the sudden she'll be looking at, you know, showing me my grades. As she's showing me her grades, all of the sudden she'll just remove her top. After removing her top, and all of the sudden something happens between me and the teacher. Mental reconditioning. Someone is just, oh, the plumber will come, you know, and as he's fixing the, you know, mentor recall. You are creating demonic scenarios. You are wondering, why am I creating these demonic scenarios? Why am I creating this? There has been a mentor reconditioning. You are laughing because it's true. You have been watching these things, so you are picturing all sorts of scenarios, all sorts of scenarios. You know, you have scenarios of, you know, the naughty neighbor that visits one day to come and ask, oh, you know, I don't know why my power is not working, or I don't know why this is not working. And all of a sudden, something between you and that neighbor that has come to ask for power, something sparks. Mentally reconditioned in a demonic program. Where did you learn that one from? You learned it from watching things. Okay, let me move. Okay, so the first thing that will happen, the electrician. So the first thing that will happen is a mentor reconditioning. The second thing that will happen is that they are trying to offer you demonic suggestions. So in the mentorship program, number one, they are achieving mentorship reconditioning. The second thing that they are achieving is a demonic suggestions. Okay, they are achieving demonic suggestions. Suggestions usually present as innocent and non-aggressive, but plant a seed which later yields a harvest. Let me say that again. Suggestions usually present as an innocent, non-aggressive idea, but that plants a seed which later yields a harvest. So what is happening is that through what you are watching, okay, through what you are accustoming yourself to, there are demonic suggestions, things that are being suggested to you, okay, through what you are watching. For example, suicide is a demonic suggestion. Many of you don't know how suicide was something you learned to do, or you started contemplating to do. How did you come to that idea where you start contemplating it? The media you were watching, they don't need to do so much. They just planted one scene that suggested something, okay? Suggested something within you, okay? And you didn't know that through your senses, something was projected to you. And you must understand that they don't... Anyway, let me move. Okay, so these are the suggestions that are given. Now, let me read something that I was reading in a book, which is talking about the power of suggestion, okay? The power of suggestion. Okay, so let me read. The news media continually carries reports that indicate the transference of spirits through the power of suggestive words and attitudes. Okay, so this is a report from the Los Angeles Times. Okay, the Los Angeles Times once reported the case of the young boy who committed suicide after listening over and over to the song Suicide Solution by the popular hard rock singer Ozzy Osbourne. Obviously, he fell prey to a spirit of suicide. Okay? So, a young boy listens to the song by Ozzy Osbourne called Suicide Solution, and listens to the song over and over and over again until the young boy committed suicide. What was happening? Demonic suggestions. They are suggesting things. That is happening in the mentorship program. Okay? Let's read another journal that was written in the Flint Journal of 1987. Okay? In another incident, the Flint Journal newspaper carried the following article on December 6, 1987. Without their parents' knowledge, this is speaking of these boys, these children. Without their parents' knowledge, a 13-year-old boy, his 10-year-old sister, and two of their friends dialed a telephone service that offered recorded sexual messages. The recording featured a woman describing sexual acts in explicit language, apparently had a profound impact on the youngsters. The next day, the children's mother said the 10-year-old was molested by her two friends and her 13-year-old brother had intercourse with another girl. The incident investigated by police and child protection agencies has traumatized the lives of the families involved. Why? What happened? Demonic suggestions. These are demonic suggestions. So it's very, very important, okay? Let me read a headline in the weekly World News of June 18, 1983. Read, Teenage Dracula Bites 30 Children. I like this headline, okay? So this was the headline in 1983, okay, in the Weekly World News, I believe it must have been newspaper, okay, it says, teenage Dracula bites 30 children. According to the amazing article, dozens of panic-stricken children shrieked in pain and terror as a real-life Dracula chased them down on the school ground and sunk his teeth into their flesh. When the schoolyard horror ended, 30 youngsters, bleeding and hysterical, were rushed to a hospital and they were treated for shock. Severe bite wounds and were given anti-infection inoculations. The nightmare attack was carried by a 14-year-old student that police in Cleveland, England, would identify only as James. If you are James, I pity you. They said he went berserk shortly after he had watched a bloody Dracula movie on a local television station. He charged through the schoolyard during morning recess, grabbing small children, holding them down, and biting into their arms as they writhed in agony. It was just like the movie. It was spooky, said one of the boy's classmates, Angela Simmons, who is 13 years old. He went wild and started attacking and biting the younger kids. Can you imagine? This young boy watches a Dracula movie. After watching a Dracula movie, runs into the schoolyards and begins to bite people. It was just like in the movies, as Angela Simmons said. Okay, it was just like in the movie. It was spooky. Demonic suggestions being projected through what we are seeing, what we are hearing. Okay, demonic suggestions. So it's very, very important that you understand that many of the things that we are actually engaging with have got demonic suggestions that are projected, okay? They are projected within us. They are projected within us. So you must understand that that's one of the things that happens in the mentorship program of demonic spirits. The third thing that happens in the mentorship program of demonic spirits through the media is what is referred to as demonic triggers, okay? Demonic triggers, okay? Demonic triggers. Okay, demonic triggers. Okay, so demonic triggers, they are trying to trigger certain things. So in that class, one of the things that is happening is that they are giving things that are triggering things that are already within you. Now, usually this triggers patterns that are already in the bloodline or patterns you have previously dealt with. So sometimes demonic spirits will realize that you have already dealt with certain things. And they know that the previous times in which you had certain challenges, maybe the previous challenge you had was a challenge with pornography. You had a challenge with hardcore pornography, hardcore explicit material. That was your challenge. So they now know that you have become wiser than that. You must understand that as we grow older in the faith, our moral standing gets higher. That there are some people that if you lock them, okay, if you lock them in the club, they will not drink. Even if you leave castles all around their house, they will not drink. Some people, their moral standing is not so high. Washafia kabotelo ka kaso kamo, you know, ubo kokule tutuma, ale tutuma, ale tutuma, ale tutuma, ale tutuma. Iwe, nishi, murikaso mfridge, murikaso mfridge. Ah, elo ya piwa mushe, ya piwa mushe, boy. Hii, mfridge, ya zizi, lori ya piwa. Because your moral standing is not so high, okay? You can even tell, let me give you an example. You can tell how grown you are by the temptation the devil throws at you. Let me say that again. You can tell how grown you are by the temptations the devil throws at you. Do you realize that Jesus's temptations were all mystical in nature? Because the devil knows if we bring a prostitute, it's not something Jesus is thinking about. So he tries to trick him through things he's already supposed to do. You know, turn, these stones into bread, jump off a cliff, etc., etc. So you notice that his temptations were so mystical in nature. But you only ask us, some temptations were like tempting a litanta. You know, go, I'm going to fit tanta ombuk tutumo, ombuk tutumo, yinimbo ni tanta pasanimba. Okay, let me leave this. You know, that's what I'm telling you. The church is not paying me enough for this comedy. You must add comedy allowance. Okay. Anyway, that was not what I was talking about. What I was talking about was demonic triggers. I was saying that the enemy knows that your moral standing has gone higher. Okay. Your moral standing has gone higher. Okay. So because your moral standing has gone higher, one of the things you will realize is that the enemy will use triggers, because he knows that if he presents pornography to you, you will not watch it because your moral standing has gone higher. But he wants to trigger something in you that takes you back to pornography. I mean, to masturbation. But then he's now wondering, how do I trigger something that takes her back to masturbation? Then the demons will begin to concoct things. Because remember that the Bible is talking about weapons fashioned. Fashioned means that someone went to create something that fits you, okay? To create something that fits your waistline. To create something that fits your neck, okay? So the enemy would have studied you. So the enemy now knows that if we present pornography, he won't watch it. And if he doesn't watch it, it won't trigger him back to masturbation. So what are we going to do? Let's give him innocent things that will have triggers. Innocent things that will trigger things. I know what I mean when I talk about triggers, because these work even in light, okay? Because actually the devil owns nothing. He just lends from light and then he manipulates and pollutes the principle. Sometimes I'll be talking to people in a counseling session. I'm not talking about their issue, but I mention something that triggers something, and all of a sudden they begin crying. And you're wondering why they are crying. It's because you asked a question or you made a statement and it triggered something. So you must now understand that even in the anointing, there are things that trigger the anointing. For example, for me, there are certain sounds. When I hear them, the anointing over my life is triggered. And I move in the anointing because I heard a certain sound. In the demonic, there are triggers also. And those triggers are locked in 2 minutes. They are locked in a minute. They are locked in a split second. So under demonic triggers, you may feel you have dealt with pornography. No, me, I'm just now watching movies. I have a pastor. These are sweet movies, clean. But you will notice that the movie was 1 hour 45. The devil doesn't want 1 hour 45. He's not focused on the 1 hour 45. What he's focused on is the 1 hour sex scene he threw in. Because that is the trigger. What he's focusing on is the kissing scene, the erotic scene that was thrown in. So some of you, you'll find that you were watching an innocent, a seemingly rather innocent movie, and you discover what was seemingly innocent starts to give you certain edges. You're wondering why you're having certain edges. You just have certain edges. There's certain urges within you that are just welling up. Yet you were saying the movie is just, you know, no, pastor, it's a series, yeah, but innocent, yeah, but innocent. But you are discovering that there are certain things that were thrown in intentionally. They didn't make a mistake. They were throwing them in intentionally. Some of the triggers you will find are not even a sex scene. You will just find a certain lady within a movie would turn back and look at this guy in a very sensual way. And that is enough to trigger you back into masturbation. And if you're not careful, you are locked again for the next 5 years. You miss what God wanted to do through your life because of a one trigger. Trigger fe alin sofe bamulole shafene lin sofe top and down. It triggers something in you because a girl looked at a guy sensually top and down, and it triggered you. And for the next 5 years, you are bound again. Very, very important. You understand that there are triggers that are locked in some of these things, movies, songs. Okay. So to push lust in your soul, the devil doesn't even need you to watch pornographic or sexually explicit material. Okay. He doesn't need that. He just needs one trigger, 1 minute, a short space. Okay, it may be a movie that seemingly looks innocent but pushes an agenda through one scenery. Okay, so that is what the enemy actually wants to do. Exactly like Miss D is saying. Or they just go in the room, close the door, and your mind finishes the scene. Have you noticed how your mind finishes everything? Okay, all of a sudden you just see what you're blanket. Parapenwa ingira pama blanket pasa wana black pa screen. Ah, umutima wamo la, you're not screaming it verbally, but your heart is saying, yeah, and you, and you know the way the mind is that it will start looking for deeper. I'm telling you, okay, those are triggers. And then you say, Pastor, but someone gave me movies. That's why these days you must. Someone gave me movies and said, Pastor, I was watching them as someone spiritually intelligent. At every point, they were triggers. No, short term, film, all of the sudden, pa, ato vaingira mroom, kwa vaisara na do, kwa taba. And you wonder, so I noticed, no. This may take you back to Babylon. I said, no. I'm cutting out these movies. Cutting them out. Some of you are watching a series and you notice there's one sex scene and you just say, no, I'll fast forward it because the plot. And you know the way they do it? They'll make the story so good, so nice that you're willing to excuse it and say, it was just that one part. Or part of it, no, fit my parts. But in a twice and that's fast forward. As you are watching back to back, triggers. You will have passions that you never knew existed. If you have those and you have been excusing them, you have certain movies, you are excusing them, saying, when that part comes or when I notice they're about to get funny, I'll just do fast forward. Fast forward. Then I continue watching because what I'm enjoying is the story. Some of you have even convinced yourself, saying, no, I'm a medical student, so I'm watching the doctor. I'm watching, what are these series that doctors watch? You know, many of you are watching those series that doctors watch. In fact, those series, you know me, I enjoy seeing people solve problems and I'm fascinated sometimes by the, you know, the hospital. And I'm starting to, they have got the worst sex scenes. A lot of strange things. They may not end the movie, but you'll be ending it in your head. You know, you just find Dr. Bashkomina, you know, patient, boom, they close the door. Ah! What manner of perversion is that? There's a patient, aliku drip, almukoma, and... Praise the Lord. Okay. There is a mentorship program. And every time we talk about these things, many people are assuming that, no, Pastor, you're just being so spiritual. Ni mofeba pente, ba pente ni wovuta. Vo onsebe vama onama spirits. No wonder you are bound to pornography. Okay. Because you're not seeing spirits in things. Okay. You're not seeing spirits in things. You know, I posted saying much of what people are calling emotions are actually defined as spirits in the Bible. Okay? You know, they're defined as spirits. What we are calling, oh no, it's just depression. The Bible calls it the spirit of heaviness. Okay? It calls it the spirit of heaviness. What we are calling an emotion called, you know, fear. The Bible calls it a spirit. Okay, these things are called spirit. And you know, when I posted that, I said what many people are calling just emotions, the Bible is defining as spirits. The mental health people were on my neck. You know, organizations were in my inbox. Hey, you are the same pastors, blah, blah, blah. The Bible defines these things as spirits. Okay, and the enemy thrives in obscurity when people are in ignorance. You keep thinking it's just normal. No, they are demonic triggers. Okay, let's move. I need to quickly finish. Number four, the fourth thing that will happen in the class is that they will enslave you. You will be enslaved. So as the spirits are teaching you through the media, they will now enslave you. You will now be entangled to the yoke of bondage, like the, you know, the rebuke Paul gave to the Galatian, the charge Paul gave to the Galatian church. Okay, he was telling them that, you know, stand fast in the freedom for which Christ has made you free and be no longer entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So many people are entangled in the yoke of bondage because they were attending classes with demonic spirits through the media. Don't mind how fancy it looks. The devil will always sugarcoat things. He will never come with horns and a pitchfork and you say, hey, Satan, I saw. No, the devil is all over. He's in the cartoons. You know, he's modified. He's looking good. He's on TV. He's wearing suits and looking handsome and pretty. He's on TV. He's everywhere. Okay, he's everywhere. And yet you are thinking he'll come with horns and a pitchfork. No. So because you are attending those classes, the next thing they'll do is that they'll enslave you. They'll entangle you in the yoke of bondage. And when you are entangled in the yoke of bondage, you are enslaved. Okay? And when you are enslaved, the next thing they will achieve and teach you is called perversion. Okay? Which is number five. So number four is enslavement. Number five is perversion. Okay? So under perversion, you must understand that the enemy will want you to graduate in sin. You know how you grow in the Holy Ghost and you want to go deeper in the Holy Ghost. Even in darkness, you grow. You grow. You grow. You grow. You grow. Perversion. You are growing in perversion. 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 To the point you will reach where the sins of which you will be committing, okay, the sins of which you will be committing will be out of order. They will typically be out of order till you get to a point where nothing satisfies you apart from chickens. Nothing will satisfy you apart from chicken. That's perversion. Okay, how did someone get so perverse? I talked about this on Sunday, the other time when I was speaking. I was saying how that, you know, I was saying how that there are people now, okay, that, you know, in the US, they are doing what they are calling, what is it called again? Golden showers, okay? What is golden, what are golden showers? Golden showers are where people get aroused by someone peeing on them. They are getting aroused by someone peeing on them. That those are the golden showers. It's become until someone pees on you, the person you are with, then that's when you, that's perversion. How did you get there? They didn't start there. But, you know, as they kept on going deeper in darkness, deeper in darkness, deeper in darkness, the other one is so bad, so, so terrible because it's number two, okay? If you don't understand what that means, the Lord help you. And it's good that the Lord has kept you safe because it's so disgusting. Okay, the other one is so, so bad. I was like, why? This is perversion. Okay, this is perversion. People find themselves under such deep perversion. Okay, deep perversion. But they didn't start like that. As they were watching the TV, as they were standing there, as they were sitting on that television, they were under the mentorship program of demonic spirits. I can assure you everything happening on TV is very intentional. Sometimes the vessels acting don't even know that they are just chess pieces playing a part to the big picture. They are just chess pieces playing a part to the big picture. They don't even know it. You know, they don't even know it, but they are contributing to mentoring people into a certain field. That is why you must be mindful of what you are watching. If you're going to be jealous with your life, be jealous with it. Say, but Pastor, now, what am I going to be watching? It's boring now. If I delete all the series today, what will I be watching? There's a law. Whatever you displace, you replace. So find something to watch. You know, when I took away all the movies, I used to love series. Let me tell you something. I used to love series. You can ask my brothers. You can ask the people that knew me. I loved series. I would buy hard drives after hard drives after hard drives after hard drives. Okay? After hard drives after hard drives. You know, I would have space, you know, created just to, you know, load my computer with series. Sometimes I would have so many and I love to have them long. You know, if you only have one season, I'll not be so interested. But you will find that someone will give me, if I notice that you have five seasons, I'm happy. And when I open the folder, I discover each and every season is 24 episodes. Each and every season is 24 episodes. 24 episodes, 24 episodes. And actually, when I saw Prison Break the other day, because I watched it so much when I was in school, you know, I watched it so, so much that when I saw season 6 is coming out and they posted it, I said, Lord, deliver me from evil. I bind, I anoint myself, you know, because I had episodes after episodes, and I would watch them. When I decided to get rid of them, I decided to replace them with sermons. I can assure you, you know, now I enjoy listening to sermons. But I realize the reason why it was difficult then is that spirits were against. You know, when spirits are against you, you will find things that are supposed to be good are difficult. I would sleep listening to sermons. It doesn't matter how anointed the preacher is. Even if you tell me, no, this is our pastor, he's on fire. I would start that Ryan Octali. In fact, I started now using sermons to rest. I would use sermons to, if I want to rest, na wika pofe sermon na lala na yo. Na wika pofe na se na lala. But at some point, I started developing, you know, the stamina for it. I would listen 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 1 hour. Then at some point, something changed, okay? Because I was now being schooled under a new institution, the institution of the Holy Ghost. Maybe I should teach on that soon. I was now learning under the institution of the Holy Ghost, and he started changing my passions. He started changing my desires. All of a sudden, it was now beautiful to listen to a sermon. I remember I would listen to Dr. Miles Monroe so much. I would listen to the man so much. You know, listen to him almost the whole day. Then I got sermons, you know, by Pastor Benny Hinn. And I was listening to Pastor Benny Hinn. Sometimes I would listen to him, you know, for 8 hours straight, just watching him slay people, fall under the power, you know, see him sing hallelujah. I was just watching and I loved it. Then the music. The music was the hardest for me. The series maybe were difficult, but the music was the hardest. I've always been a musical person. I've always loved music. Music was the most difficult. It was the most difficult. I was a Christian, loving God, even encouraging people, but music was so hard for me. It was so hard, so hard. The moment I just decided, you know, the moment I just decided that, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to stop listening and I delete everything, and I hear that Eminem has just released an album with Royce da 5'9". I'm like, Lord, why? You know, all the talented guys are working together now. Before you know it, you just hear, oh no, J. Cole has released this album, you know. And I'm like, wow, I can imagine the poetry, the storytelling, you know, in the songs. You know, I'm just thinking of all these things, you know. I'm just thinking of all these things. I'm just thinking of all these things, you know. And I am there. And I would, due to my relapse, I'm like, okay, let me just listen to this one. This one must truly be fire. Then the last stretch was that, you know, I'm done. Then I was like, I'm done. Then Eminem released Recovery. And the flagship track was, what was the flagship track again? I'm Not Afraid. Hey, I listened to that song and the beat on it. I just said, you know, let me listen to how accurate he was. You know, kum for fwali, you know, and I was listening. I now knew that I will not stop. I went to God. Lord, grant me grace. I need grace. You know, the grace of God is not to entertain darkness. Many people, you know, believe that the grace of God entertains darkness. No, the grace of God empowers you to overcome darkness. And that is why there is grace sufficient right now on each and every one of us, okay? There is grace sufficient on each and every one of us right now. If you are lacking in grace, ask for grace. Don't ask, you know, it's demonic grace that, you know, the grace will now say it is okay. No, the grace is saying, I've noticed that you are struggling. I'm here to help you. And the moment the Holy Ghost sees that there is one leap of, you know, help me. Like there's one part of you that is just crying, help me. One part of you that is, you know, if you watch a wrestling match, for example, you know, maybe this guy is fighting and they are doing those, you know, those tag team matches, you know, and you are stretching forth, one guy will be stretching forth his arm. And the guy, you know, that is on the outside, that is fresh, will stretch forth until they can tap that arm and step in. That is what grace looks like sometimes. Grace looks like a state where you are stretching forth your arm. This addiction is pulling you back, saying you are not going to be free. You are bound to this stuff. You are bound to the pornography. You are bound to the masturbation. You are bound to this. The moment you show just one step, that one step may be, Pastor, let me confess, I have this problem. That one step may be, Holy Ghost, I am tired, help me. I am tired. I know prayer is difficult, but I will make that one leap where I stretch forth my arm. I know my arm is not reaching where it can tap yours, but that's all it takes. Your arm doesn't even need to tap his. His arms are longer. You know, just show that sight that you want to be helped. And the moment you show that you want to be helped, He will tap you and step in, and it will be over for the addiction. And before you know it, you'll be set free and you will be at liberty. What the Holy Ghost wants to see. Many of you, you are nursing, you are nurturing, you know, demons. You are nurturing addictions. You are nurturing these things. You are nurturing them. You've created a daycare for them. You take care of them. You feed them in the morning. You feed them in the afternoon. You feed them in the evening. You've created a daycare because you have not shown the willingness. Don't say F-O-F-I-A-L-A-F-A, it's hard to break free. There are some people who are so bound, they even feel that this thing is too binding. I don't know. People lie when they say they are free. It's because you're bound. So you feel everyone saying they are free is lying. When they look at the pastor, they say, so when you're at pastor, because you feel what your weakness is everybody else's weakness, because you have not latched onto grace. My sister, there is grace sufficient. My brother, there is grace sufficient. If you show that one step to heaven, that you are willing to tap heaven's hand to step in, you are willing to tap heaven's hand, even if you just stretch it a bit, let me speak it in Nyanja, or even if it's just a little, when you just show that you want to be helped, help me, just help me. When you show that one, heaven will tap you and step in, and it's over for that addiction. The grace is sufficient. Oh, I pray for you. Each and every one of you that has been bound to the classes and the institution of the demonic media, I decree and I declare over you, you are set free in the name of Jesus. The grace is availed and made sufficient. You are no longer entangled again to the yoke of bondage. You are to stand fast in the freedom for which Christ is making you free in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree and I declare over each and everyone bound to the chains of addiction, bound to the chains of mental reconditioning, break free now in the name of Jesus. Be set free now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for our brothers and our sisters, and we stand on their behalf in the name of Jesus. We stand in the gap, oh God. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Makura salianda sakoria daba shatele borokolia ndaskalele borokolia ana makuria dasa, that Christ would be fully formed within their hearts in the name of Jesus. Korabashanda. Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. We are grateful for this evening. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray with full of thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen and amen and amen. I want you to take an intentional step before you go, just before you leave. I want you to take an intentional step. I want you to do a sweep, okay? I want you to do a sweep this very night. And if you like, you can shame the devil. Post a screenshot on your WhatsApp. Post a screenshot in, you know, the commandos group if you are in there. Post a screenshot in the church group if you're there. Just, you know, do a sweep. Just mark all of them. Do a screenshot. Push the delete button. Say, Pastor, thank you for that message. I am shaming the devil, never returning again. I am deleting this stuff. You know, your laptop, go to your laptop. There were some movies you were defending. You have even become the lawyer of those movies. That wasn't bad. Go there and say goodbye. I'm starting a new journey. It may be boring listening to Pastor Cham's podcast. It may be boring listening to these preachers, but I'm going to try it and I'm going to love it. Delete. Go to your phone. If the memory card is too complex, just dump the memory card and buy another one. Okay? But delete. That is why the delete button is there. Heaven anticipated, okay, that there would be a fall. So the lamb was provided, called delete. So you must use that and delete. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay? Thank you so much. Shalom. Good night. And God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.